realfaith.org.au.
Suddenly it hit me, just a minute. This hobby you've got, photography, you're spending all your time and money on that. How much are you giving to the Lord? So I gave away the cameras, I gave away darkroom equipment, and said, right, I've become a Christian, I have no time for this sort of stuff, it's become a god, and I just want to serve the Lord.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Our guest today is award-winning Christian photographer Raymond Williams, who will be sharing with us an overview of his amazing life journey. He's photographed everyone from Cliff Richards to Princess Diana and has taken photos at many historically significant events around Australia. He joins us today via the telephone from his home in Sydney, and he'll be sharing the stories behind his wonderful photos. Raymond Williams, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric. Do appreciate being here.
Glad to have you with us. And there is so much to your story. I don't know how we're going to get it all in. Let's see a few highlights of your life. You have photographed Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, and several prime ministers. Is that right?
That's correct. Started with Billy Graham in 68 in Sydney, but then 69 Melbourne. I also came down and covered his crusade there, and then 79 in Sydney. But, of course, this was just the beginning, because after that, there are quite a few of the other activities that certainly I photographed and reported.
Okay, we're going to get to all that. And you have also photographed several royal visits. And as you mentioned, the 1968 Billy Graham Crusade, Cyclone Tracy in Darwin, just to name a few of the historical events that you've been at. And all of this is from someone who at one point in your life, you gave up all your photography equipment because you thought that that was not the direction that you should go in. Is that right?
That's correct. I was converted the night before my 22nd birthday at a Christian Endeavor missionary rally here in Sydney. And I felt sure that somebody got to Ivor Powell, a Welsh evangelist, before the meeting, told him all about me, because he said, look, you've never sworn, you've never smoked, you've done a good life, which was me, because I'd been in scouting. And he went on, and I felt sure, now, who's told you about me? And then finally the appeal, and he said, right, now, all heads bowed, eyes closed, raise your hand if you'd like to accept the Lord tonight and say that, well, you know about him, but you'd like to love him. You don't love the Lord. That's the sin. So all eyes closed, heads bowed. I was sitting with the girlfriend who'd taken me to the meeting. Put my hand up, brought it straight down on her head. So, of course, she knew, and she burst into tears, as women do. And Ivor Powell counseled me after the meeting and led me to the scriptures. And here it was the beginning. This is February 1953.
Wow. Okay, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. We want to hear more about that. But first, let's kind of go back all the way to the beginning. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Bexley in Sydney, 1931, so that gives the age away. Went to a Bexley public school and did my apprenticeship as a fitter and machinist. As I say, at the age of 22, became a Christian and became very involved in Christian work right from the beginning. I think that's another story.
Okay, and so why were you under this conviction that you should give up all of your photography equipment if that's something that you enjoyed so much?
The activities that I became involved in was serving 200 down-and-out homeless people, but another worker there at the Commonwealth Street Sydney Rescue Work saw that I needed instruction myself. So he suggested a monthly meeting held by a mission called WEC, Worldwide Evangelization Crusade. Mm-hmm. And it was there that I heard the preaching of full commitment. Do you really believe in the Lord? What are you doing for him? And how much of your life does he control? And this was the sort of teaching that I was getting, and suddenly it hit me, just a minute, this hobby you've got, photography, you're spending all your time and money on that. How much are you giving to the Lord? So I felt, righto, now does the Lord want me to give it up? And the feeling continued and grew. So I went back to my factory where I was working, fitter machinist, gave away everything. I gave away the cameras, I gave away darkroom equipment, and said, right, I've become a Christian, I have no time for this sort of stuff, it's become a god, and I just want to serve the Lord.
Okay, well, how did you get involved in photography in the first place? Were you always just a creative person, or how did it all start?
Actually, my Uncle Tom, and at the age of 16, he suggested to me, have you got a hobby? Well, no, not really. Just finished high school. And he said, well, what about photography? I'll help you get started. And so he was very practical type, and he helped me make my first enlarger myself out of a piece of timber, use the lens out of a box camera, tin funnel we used for the light department, and two sheets of glass to hold the negatives. It was a very, very basic type enlarger. And I joined two camera clubs, St. George Camera Club and the Camera Club of Sydney. Mm-hmm. And my efforts were noticed that every time there was a competition, I put an entry in. Mm-hmm. Finally, one photographer, professional photographer said, what lens are you using on your enlarger? I said, oh, it's out of a box camera. Oh, no. He said, you don't do that. There's a special lens for that. So gradually I learned. And then processing, I thank Mr. Alderson, the chemist. And he supplied me with all the gear. He said, now, look, when you open your first packet of photographic paper, just take out the first sheet you meet, put it into your glass attachment for the negative, and give it so many seconds, and then put it into developer, fixer, and wash, which I did in the bathroom. I blackened out the room, I pulled out the first sheet of paper, put it into the negative holder, I exposed it, put it in the developer, nothing happened. And this went on for quite a while. So what's going on here? So finally I turned the light on to see what was happening. I'd pulled out the piece of cardboard that was inside the packet instead of the first sheet of photographic paper. So I learnt very quickly that there is a piece of cardboard inside of the packet as well.
Okay. Sometimes we learn things the hard way. Now, I'm just thinking people listening today, younger people in particular, you know, they have their mobile phones. They're used to taking all these digital pictures. But you were back in the day when you actually had to have a dark room, like you just mentioned, and had to use chemicals to process. I mean, you couldn't just snap a picture and look at it. You had to work. You had to go in the dark room. And I remember myself back when I was in high school, I took an introduction to photography class. And one of the reasons why I didn't really pursue it any further was I was hopeless with all these chemicals and everything.
It certainly makes a difference when you can do your own and you can lighten a particular area or darken an area. It was lovely working in the darkroom.
So those were back in the days when you really had to be committed because you didn't get things instantly. You had to work a lot just to be able to look at the photos that you took.
That's correct, yes. I took some various ones and enlarged them up and was finally able to win quite a few prizes at the various camera clubs, but most of them objected because they weren't exactly wonderful photos. They were just a case that I was putting them numerous entries in all the time.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for stacking the odds in your favor.
Oh, yes. You've got to be subtle in these sort of things.
So anyhow, obviously, you took to it, you enjoyed it, but then, as you mentioned earlier, you decided to give it all up, to give your equipment away because of your growing relationship with the Lord.
That's right. I was convicted, as I say, and what's that in your hand? Lay it down. Give it to the Lord.
But obviously, we're talking to you today as a photographer, an award-winning photographer, so we're going to get to the part where it all comes back. But what came next in your life after you gave it all up?
I would say the next part was Bible College. I approached the Sydney Missionary Bible College. They had a two-year course in those days, 1955, 56. And I went in to learn, what's this Bible all about? Get the history of it. And it was in there that I suddenly noticed a young lady who was also a senior student. I was a senior student in my second year. And I noticed this young lady, Dorothy Pattermore, and asked her to help with children's camps that I was running on holiday weekends and so on. Mm-hmm. Finally, I realized that we were both headed for Indonesia and both called to WEC. So I suggested perhaps we get together and become engaged. She agreed. So when we joined WEC, I mentioned that we would like to be engaged. Oh, you can't do that until you've both been on the field for 2 years. That's the mission regulation.
Oh,
so
wow.
the woman gets the language and is not distracted. So you can't be in the same place together. So Dorothy was sent to Brisbane. I stayed in Sydney. There was a building program extension of the headquarters. And after 12 months, they said, well, look, your visas for Indonesia haven't come through. We still can't have you in the same place together. Raymond, you go to Brisbane. Dorothy, you come down to Sydney. So we did that for another 12 months. And at the end of that period, they said, look, your visa still hasn't come through for Indonesia, second attempt. Would you mind, we need someone in the kitchen to handle catering. We need a maintenance man out in the grounds. Would you mind getting married? So I said, well, we'd have to pray about that. So it took about 10 seconds. And I said, oh, yeah, we'll do it just to please the mission. We'll get married. We were married in 2 weeks.
Now, Raymond, can I just be honest with you? It doesn't sound real romantic.
You think that wasn't romantic. On the night we were engaged, I broke the axle on the utility we were in.
Oh, golly.
On the night of the honeymoon, I broke the connection with the tail shaft, and I was under it in my wedding suit.
Oh, my goodness.
And hitched it all up with a coat hanger until we could get to it. Then we picked up a caravan. We parked on the side of a big vacant block. The next morning, it turned out we're on the side of an airport at Gosford, up in the middle, mid-coast, New South Wales.
Yep.
And there were joyrides going on, and the people selling the tickets were sitting in our utility out of the rain. So we had quite an interesting honeymoon.
Our guest today is award-winning Christian photographer Raymond Williams, who's sharing with us his remarkable life journey. Next, we're going to hear about Raymond and his wife going to Indonesia to be missionaries. And then eventually, they receive the incredible news that they'll be the proud parents of triplets. That and more is coming up when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scatterbo, and today we're talking with Christian photographer Raymond Williams, and he's reflecting over his incredible life journey. Before the break, we heard how Raymond met and married his wife, Dorothy, while both of them were attending Bible school. Now we'll find out what happened next in their lives.
Within 2 months, our visa for Indonesia came through.
Oh, okay.
So May 59. We went out on a cargo ship. It was the only way to get to Indonesia in those days. And so 59, we went out, just the two of us. 64, we came home on furlough, but now we doubled. We had two little girls. So we went out two, we came back four.
Okay.
Had a little boy, and we thought we were having another little boy. And instead of that, we had triplets.
Triplets?
So we doubled from three to six children very smartly.
I mean, raising children in a foreign country is hard enough as it is, but triplets on top of three other children.
And there's no disposable nappies in those days.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So it's some challenges on the mission field, I'm imagining.
Yeah. And, of course, the hospital in our town was an American Baptist mission hospital. We were the only other foreigners in town, so the people, the staff, doctors and so on, used to come to our place on their days off just to get away from the hospital. So we knew them all personally. And when Dorothy was pregnant, they realized she was too big. Something was wrong. I took an X-ray, which was what you did in those days. This would go back 67. And that was the only equipment they had. And they said, look, we can see two backbones, but we can't see where they're joined. So there must be a cancer or a tumor there. We're going to operate 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and terminate the whole thing. That afternoon, the doctor picked me up from our home and took us out to a birthday party, I think it was, for some children. Oh, by the way, the operation's all off. He said, oh, why is that? Marion, the American X-ray technician, came back from holidays a day early. It just worked out that way.
Wow.
And he said, we've taken another X-ray. We can see three skulls. You've got triplets. I said,
wow.
Oh, you're joking. The American doctor said, that must be an Australian expression. Your wife just said the same thing.
Well, I was going to ask you what was going on inside of you at that time, because you're going from thinking the worst, the pregnancy was going to be terminated,
yeah,
to all of a sudden finding out you're going to have three more children.
That's it. It was very good. The doctor sent them home one at a time, so we got used to having another little one in the family. And when they were 3 months old, which is a different story, by the way, leading up to the present photographic work, we came home in November 67, and it was more or less the seal to come home, or as we say, a seal.
Mm-hmm.
It was from the Lord to convince us that we should be home in Australia doing photography work.
Yeah, please share with us that story.
Well, the WEC in London felt that there was the need for audiovisual department. And I had seen the first audio-visual presentation at a camera club in Sydney. So I knew what was involved. You had the slides, you had the tape recordings. But you had to limit the talk to only 5 seconds per slide. So at any rate, I offered to the WEC to open up the audio-visual department, and they accepted. But as Dorothy said, that's fine, you've been called to a different type of work, but we're in Java, and the Lord hasn't changed that direction. So for 12 months, I tried doing audiovisual work there, and was doing title slides and so forth, not only for WEC, but for other missions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that period came the news of the triplets, and we were told they wouldn't live, they'd be too small. Dorothy said, look, if they live, that's the seal, we go home. And meanwhile, I had started, because I was a fitter machinist, I'd started doing a business course. I was handling all the business affairs for the mission in Indonesia. And the last three lessons were on advertising, handling the media, and preparing press releases. So when the triplets were born, it seemed as if the Lord was saying, there's your first story. So the triplets were placed in a humidity crib. They only had one humidity crib in the hospital. So they were placed sideways in the humidity crib. So I photographed the humidity crib with the American doctor and the American head nurse and sent that off to America. Here's the American hospital had triplets in Java. To New Life, a Melbourne paper, a Christian paper, I sent the story, Missionaries Have Triplets in Java. To the Indonesian papers, I sent the story, Australians Have Triplets in Java. Same story, but different title.
Yeah.
And it hit the world media. So we came home.
Well, just before you get to that, I was going to say that a lot of people, when they get involved in media, don't provide their own first story based on their own life. But you had it right there. It was too good to be true or too good to pass up, I guess.
I was it.
Yep.
I didn't mention I was a husband.
Oh, okay. Conveniently left that part out.
And in fact, the American mission, they said, look, send us the negative or 50 copies. We want to send this story to every state in America.
Oh, wow.
I've been back to the hospital since, and now they have a ward full of hemodiacribs.
Oh, well, you were the pioneer, well, I should say, your triplets
we
were.
We got the wheels moving.
Oh, fantastic. So then what happened?
Well, we came home. I attended the pre-meeting for missionaries and ministers for the 68 Billy Graham Crusade. And during the meeting, I noticed the Herald, the newspaper photographer, photographed Billy Graham on the platform. But when Billy came down off the platform, he was speaking to the Archbishop. He was speaking to the leader of the Baptist Church, the president. And this photographer didn't have a clue who they were, and I did, and I saw the media value in that. And I asked the co-director of the 68 Crusade, Fred Nile, where's the religious press? He said, there isn't any. I said, oh, come on. He said, no, he said, we start the crusade tomorrow, but no religious photographers are registered. So I phoned Eric Daly, the New Life paper in Melbourne, said, Eric, what are you doing about covering Billy Graham's 68 Crusade in Sydney? He said, oh, we've sent the office secretary up. She'll get a few notes. We can't afford a photographer. I said, well, look, can you afford the printing blocks in those days? If I give you the photos, 8x10 glossy prints, can you afford to print them? He said, oh, yeah, we can do that, but we can't pay you. So that was the biggest mistake of my life. I gave away photos, and there was no charge, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Oh, wow. You know, one thing I'm starting to understand about this photography, obviously it's taking photos, but also, as you're sharing, it's also about knowing what photos to take and how to kind of package them or frame them so people would have interest in it. Does that sound right?
Yes. You've got to be in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And with the Billy Graham Crusade, 68 Crusade, there were 6 pages of instruction to photographers. What
wow.
you can do and what you can't do. And you didn't get a press pass until you'd read those 6 pages. And I realized that there were general scenes. I didn't have the equipment with long-range lens and things. I was just using a Rolleiflex camera, I think it was. And a small 35mm. So here am I taking general scenes, and as close as I could get, of the crusade meetings, and it worked out beautifully, because I noticed a photographer, I didn't know he was the official photographer, Russ Busby, before the meeting started, he got up on the platform and was photographing some of the VIPs, the important people. So I just shot over his shoulder sort of thing and got some beautiful shots. And it's a case of being in the right place at the right time. You don't disturb the preacher. The first 2 minutes of Billy Graham's sermon, certainly photograph in close, but then get out of the way, otherwise you're distracting from the message going out. And so I'd get up the back of the crowd, and in fact, in the Sydney Crusade, I think I climbed up the clock tower of the showground and got some beautiful crowd shots from up there.
Oh, wow. Now we're going to have to stop you there because we've run out of time for this first conversation with our guest today, Raymond Williams. But obviously, you have many more stories. That's just the beginning of your photography career back here in Australia. So, Raymond, can we have you come back and share some more stories?
Love to come back, Eric. Lovely talking to you.
Well, that was part one of my two-part conversation with award-winning Christian photographer Raymond Williams. And what an eventful life he's had. And we haven't finished hearing all of it yet. We have more. So we invite you to join us again next time for part two, when we'll hear about some of the historically significant events he's taken photos of, like the 1968 Billy Graham Crusade and Cyclone Tracy in Darwin in 1974. All that and more is coming up next time, when we'll have part two of our conversation with award-winning Christian photographer Raymond Williams.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.